The affirmation of faith for today is from Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14. And this particular affirmation of faith is important for the lesson from God's Word today. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. God's word for today is from Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter, just verses 12 through 16, where we read of the preparation for the Passover meal. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house," he enters, "the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. The reading from God's word today is not the usual reading for Palm Sunday today. The usual reading has to do with, well, Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. And that's important. Jesus was very into symbols. He was fulfilling the Old Testament prophets by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus was very into symbols and left us symbols to remember. Symbols we are to remember to repeat and symbols to remember to do. The reason today's Bible reading is not Jesus' ride into Jerusalem, because we are focusing on the reason for Jesus' going to Jerusalem. And really, that could be discussed. Why was Jesus going to Jerusalem? We all know that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Jesus even said so. And we are correct to say that that is the reason Jesus was going to Jerusalem. But the only people who knew that at the time was Jesus. The disciples heard Jesus say that he was going to Jerusalem, and Jesus told them why, but they didn't understand. Luke uses the strongest language. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't just planning to go. Jesus was going to get to the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus even told the disciples what would happen when they got to Jerusalem. But it all sailed right over the disciples' head. And the Bible doesn't mind telling us that that information that Jesus gave sailed right over the disciples' head. The disciples don't mind telling us we're idiots, I guess, because Jesus told us what would happen in Jerusalem and we didn't get it. But here is what everyone did know about Jesus going to Jerusalem. Everyone knew it was Passover. The reason Jesus went to Jerusalem, the reason that everyone knew, was because it was Passover. And we've decorated the chancel here with reminders of that reason for Jesus and the disciples going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Passover is a party of remembrance, what we would call an anniversary. And what do we always have at anniversaries? Cake. Who doesn't love cake? But that's a modern celebration. The ancients had meat for their celebrations. Why? Well, they had meat mostly because they were usually vegetarians. They didn't intend to be vegetarians, but they were too poor to have meat very often. And the meat that was available was small, right? Sheep, goats, hogs, and cattle are much larger animals and provide a lot more meat, but not everyone had cattle, and pork was forbidden. Many Israelites were vegetarians, but not by choice. They were vegetarians by default or by circumstance. Meat, sheep, or lamb was eaten for the party of Passover, the anniversary party. I might ask how many of you here have eaten lamb. I know I did not eat lamb growing up. Passover is a meat-eating party, a lamb-eating anniversary. The Bible tells us, "This day shall be for you a memorial," Exodus 12. And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you come out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage," Exodus chapter 13. "You shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh in Egypt all the days of your life," Deuteronomy chapter 16. These verses are clear. The Passover anniversary party is a reminder that God's people were delivered from slavery in Egypt. The Israelites were redeemed back to God's hand from the hands of the Egyptians. I wonder if you remember that redemption is a marketplace term. Redemption's a marketplace word. Even in the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the word to redeem has to do with recovering an item through money. Literally, to buy something back. Think pawn shop. Because in a pawn shop, you, the owner of the item, have handed your item over to the pawn broker. It is no longer available to you to use. Your item is lost to you. And to get it back requires a payment or a fee to get it back. That is redemption. That's a redemption price. If you pawn something and get it back, you have participated in redemption of your property. Your peace is redeemed. So let's consider this for ancient Israelites of the Old Testament in the condition of slavery. God's people who were in slavery in Egypt are leaving the Egyptians and going back to their owner, who is the Lord God. The Bible likes to use the word delivered, but the reality is that people were handed over to the Lord God from Egypt's hands to God's hands. They were redeemed. When it comes to us and our redemption, God in Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus himself pays the price to buy us back. The word Redeemer is one of the prophet Isaiah's favorite names for God. Half the times God is called Redeemer in the Bible are in the book of Isaiah. Half the times our God is called a Redeemer are in the book of Isaiah out of the entire Bible. So the setting here in the sanctuary this morning reminds us why Jesus went to Jerusalem and why we remember Jesus going to Jerusalem. Jesus was going to celebrate God's redemption, an anniversary celebration, Passover. The table is a symbol of an anniversary dinner table. And Jesus, with the disciples, were celebrating that anniversary at an anniversary dinner table. We forget how excited and how happy people were that Sunday that Jesus entered the city. The disciples were also excited, I have no doubt, even though Jesus had told them dark things would happen in Jerusalem. Now, the disciples might have thought big things were going to happen, but not sure what exactly would happen. I mean, consider the throngs that welcomed Jesus to the city. The disciples knew that they were the new celebrity Jesus's posse. The disciples were best buds, best friends, with the best thing in years to come down the pike to Jerusalem, Jesus. And Jesus seemed to be the genuine article. He didn't put up with guff from the Pharisees. He liked common people. Jesus could heal anything. What was not to celebrate when you were with Jesus? And so it was at the table And now, when we celebrate the Lord's table, what some call the Last Supper, communion, the Eucharist, it's at that table that we remember Jesus' words. These were words the disciples didn't understand, or what we read in the Bible is that they gave no indication that they understood what Jesus said. They refused to acknowledge the dark tidings Jesus himself predicted for going to Jerusalem. So Jesus is going through the anniversary dinner ceremony, because the whole dinner had ceremony in it. And Jesus picks up the bread, and instead of the anniversary words, Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my body broken for you." And that probably got the room real quiet. We are not told that anyone raised any questions at that point. We have no record of any questions. The disciples often did ask questions, but here we read nothing. The dinner continues, and then Jesus picks up the cup and says, "This is my blood. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Again, we have no record of any questions, but these are strange words indeed, and not the traditional words spoken at the Passover anniversary dinner party. The disciples would have been thinking something entirely different when Jesus said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many." The blood came from the lamb that's on the dinner table. The lamb's blood is for the sins, and that blood was poured out at the altar at the temple. But you and I are the many that Jesus is talking about. "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. For Jesus said, this is a new covenant." You see, you and I have been in sin's grip. If you don't accept that, that's a whole other sermon series. But Jesus and Jesus' people believe that they and we are in the grip of sin. Jesus' people knew that God would forgive sins and knew that the Lamb represented that forgiveness because of the blood. So everyone at the table long ago knew, yes, we are in the grip of sin. Well, God wants his people back from the grip of sin. God doesn't want us in sin's hands. God wants us in God's hands. And here's the part modern people often miss. We can only belong to one or the other. There's no third option. We can only be in sin's grip or we are in God's grip. Or as some like to say, we are either serving Satan and slave to him, or we are serving God, servant to God. As an object at the pawn shop, we either belong at the pawn shop or we belong in the owner's house. Our God is paying to get us back to his house. The price to get us back to God's house is Jesus, God's Son. We are in sin's grip. Often we say we're in Satan's grip, Satan's grasp, or Satan's power. Those are images of living in sin. God wants you back in God's hands. God wants you back in God's hands. God doesn't want you in Satan's hands. God doesn't want you at the pawn shop. God wants you at his house. Wants you back in God's hands, not the grip of sin. And the price God pays for that getting you back is Jesus, God's Son, our redemption. Jesus is the redemption price. Now, God's getting you back doesn't mean you don't sin anymore. But the power of sin is broken. If the pawnbroker has received the redemption money, that just means your object won't go out the door. It may sit in the pawn shop another day till you pick it up. And the whole idea is such a good illustration of what our God has done for us through Jesus. God's word speaks of God buying us back all the time. God's word speaks of us being removed from the grip of sin or the grip of Satan and being put back into God's hands. Psalm 130, he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. What we read in Titus, our statement of faith, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Peter's book mentions the Lamb. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ, a Lamb without blemish. Ephesians says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And Colossians, although you need to read the King James version of it, in him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And finally, Hebrews, Christ the Messiah has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed. Friends, you are redeemed. You have been bought back. The redemption price has been paid. Jesus said, look at the bread and the cup. You belong to God through Christ. This is God's grace, the apostle's letter said. No property ever redeemed itself from the pawn shop. No one ever got their property back, being told the property redeemed itself back to the owner. Never. No, the redemption price had to be paid. And our Lord Jesus paid for you. You are redeemed. So now you have the Holy Spirit to live as our Lord wishes, no longer a slave to sin, no longer in sin's house, but the house of the Lord who claims you, the Lord who wants you in His hands. Amen.